We want to pray and ask that God would be the God of this spot, right here, in this gym. So let's pray together. And as I'm praying, I want you guys to pray with me. So I'm not going to have you guys pray out loud this time, but I want your head to actually be thinking something, okay? Dear Father God, you are mighty and you are awesome. And I just thank you so much that we live in a country where we can get together and we can have fun and we can use lots of energy. Father, that we had breakfast this morning, that we get to praise your name loudly, and we don't have to worry about who's going to walk in this room, that we can be bold with that. God, I ask that you would be in this place and that you would speak to each one of the hearts of the people here. Father, that they wouldn't hear my words, but they would actually hear you, which is so much more important. In your holy and precious name, amen. So we've been talking about the gospel for the past 2 weeks, and so we talked about it in terms of living differently the first week. The second week, we talked about it in terms of loving recklessly. Today, we're going to be talking about the gospel in terms of leading courageously. And that idea of leading courageously means that we can't be afraid of things, right? And I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of a lot of things. I'm afraid to be at home by myself at night. Anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I promise you someone's sneaking into my house every night. Like, I hear it, right? I'm kind of afraid. I'm actually afraid sometimes I have to speak in big church in front of all the adults. And I'm actually afraid of doing that because it makes me very nervous. And adults are kind of scary sometimes.
Yes.
So, right? Anyone speaking in front of people afraid of that? Yeah, okay, good. I'm not alone. I'm also afraid of crocodiles. Anyone? Crocodiles? They've got really sharp teeth. And they're kind of scary. So there's lots of things that we're afraid of. But the funny thing is that God tells us in his good news, in the gospel, right? Gospel means good news. He tells us that we were not given a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power. And we're going to talk about that today. What does that mean to be given a spirit of power? All right, that's all we're talking about. Not a spirit of fear, but one of power. Now, this summer, how many of you came to either summer camp or you came on our MIMP team? Did anybody go? Whoop, whoop. It was super, super fun. So we're in the middle of summer camp. It's out in California. We'll be going again this year if you guys want to help out with camp. The high schoolers do MIMP team, which they run all the games and decorations and stuff like that. It's lots of fun. But when we were there, this is what happened to me. So this is one of the blobs that's at camp, and it's super, super fun. So the idea of a blob is you stand on that platform, and somebody's on the far end of the blob, and they sit there, and somebody jumps off the platform onto the blob, and it's supposed to, like, catapult the person on the end into the water and crash down, right? Super fun. Now, we had just finished the mud pit, which is where you go into the mud pit, you get covered in mud, you play lots of games. We just finished the mud pit, so I thought this was a perfect opportunity to go ahead and move right from there to go on the blob. So I asked Hillary, who's our intern, you guys remember Hillary? I asked Hillary, I say, Hillary, like, I want you to blob me, will you go do this? And she's like, sure. So we go out, and we're waiting on the dock to climb up onto the blob tower for a little bit. And there's this girl standing there, and she's just like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm so scared. And I was like yelling at her, like, jump. You're being stupid. Don't be such a girl. Just jump. Like, I was getting so mad at her. But, of course, I know that I'm like one of the teachers on the trip, and I know that I'm the pastor or whatever. So I'm trying to be like, you can do it. Like, it's totally fine. But inside I'm thinking, you're being an idiot. Just jump. It's not that high. So that's what I was doing to her. And finally, she jumps, and it's my turn. So I climb up there, and I'm hanging out at the top of the blob. And it wasn't that high. It was like 10 feet. It really wasn't high at all. But I'm standing up there, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm going to jump. But I run to the edge, and my hands grab on tight to the railings. I think you can see me holding on tight to the railings right there. Grab on tight to the railings, and I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay, let me do it again. And the woman has a megaphone, and she has to yell, 1, 2, 3, blob, and that's when you're supposed to jump. And so she goes, 1, 2, 3, blob, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me do it again. 1, 2, 3, blob. I seriously was up there for like 15 minutes trying to jump off of this thing. And my body, like, I totally wanted to do it. My head was like, this is not so high. This is not all that scary. I'm totally fine. It's going to be like jumping into a pillow. But my whole body was just like, don't do it. You're going to die. Your face is going to come off. You're going to explode when you hit the blob. Like, all of these things are running through my head. So finally, Hillary is wonderful. But I turn back and Hillary's like, you're being stupid. Just jump. And so slowly, if you see in the picture, there are some people on the other side in kayaks. And they start yelling at me, jump, jump, jump. And then the people in front on the trampoline, jump, do it, jump. And then there was another camp, a father and daughter, like a father-daughter camp, and there's like 300 fathers and their daughters sitting on the beach, and everyone is going, do it, jump, yeah. And I am like, I can't back down now. Like, everyone is yelling my name. So finally, I just grab my life vest, and I jump off this blob, and the girl on the end just goes like, bleep. Like, she didn't go anywhere, and I like face planted onto the blob thing. And it was really, really embarrassing. But I was terrified. I was terrified to do it. And I think that sometimes, like, stuff like that happens to us. Like, in our minds, we're like, oh, we're totally fine. This is not a big deal to do this. It sounds really simple, but something in our bodies say, like, nope, not going, not gonna do this. And it's really kind of interesting because I hear stories like this all the time. It's not that people are standing on the high dive. I hear stories that people are like, I really want to talk to my friend about Jesus, or I really want to live differently, but I'm terrified to do it. Now, we're going to read a story that actually is about the exact same thing in the Bible. There's not a blob, but there are two armies. So what I want you to do is I want you to open up to 1 Samuel, which is at the beginning of your Bible. If you're right in the middle, you're actually going to go in that direction until you get to 1 Samuel. It's towards the beginning. And you're going to go to chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is probably a story you've heard before. It's the story of David and Goliath. Now, over here, this section, you guys are going to be the Philistines, all right? You guys are going to be the Israelites. And over here in the Philistines, you guys currently live in a land, and you have a large man who is your champion. His name is Goliath. And over here, the Israelites have had this long history with God, where God led them through the desert by a cloud during the day to keep the sun off them. And at night, he would come down and be this big pillar of fire. And so it was very much like, yep, here's God. I can touch him. I can feel him. I can see him. So every one of the Israelites knew that they were a nation that God was telling them to do something. And God was telling the Israelite nation to take over the Philistine land because the Philistines served bad gods and the Israelites wanted to bring God into the land the Philistines were at. All right, so the Israelites knew exactly what they were supposed to do, but in this story, we have the Philistines on one side of the mountain and the Israelites on the other side, on two mountains. One hill over here, one hill over there. And let's read what happens. Go to verse 3, so chapter 17, verse 3. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. Does anybody know how tall that is? 9.5 feet. He's 9.5 feet tall. That's super good. Okay, so I'm going to be Goliath, and I'm going to be real tall here. I'm in the middle of the Philistine camp. Boom. Oh my gosh, I'm falling over. Okay, so skip to verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose one man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, then we will all be your slaves. But if not, and I kill him, each one of you will be my slaves. You will be our subjects, and you will serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man, and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Can you guys pretend to be terrified for a second? Oh, no, not us, just them. Right? Super scared. So that's what's happening. Now, no person in this Israelite army No person in the Israelite army will stand up and try to fight Goliath because the stakes are too high. If that one man loses, that means the whole army loses. And Goliath is 9.5 feet tall. Of course he's going to win. All right, so skip down. We're going to go to verse 14. Here comes David. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse, who's David's dad, says to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry them to camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit and see how your brothers are doing and come back with some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all of the men in Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David fled the flock in the care of left the flock in the care of a shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp and the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking to them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. All right, so he's terrified, right? Everybody's scared. Let's see what David does. Skip to verse 40. Then he took his staff from his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistines. Meanwhile, the Philistines, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer and closer to David. He looked down over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. He despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." And David said to the Philistines, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you defy. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Those who gather here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sunk deep into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine, and he killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it out of the sheath, and after he killed him and cut off his head with the sword. Super exciting, right? So that's the story. So this 10-foot-tall, almost 10-foot-tall guy is the champion, and here comes David, who's the youngest of his brother. He's just a shepherd. He comes and he says, "No, I'll kill him. I'll totally kill him. I'll get it." Isn't that super cool that someone just has so much courage? It was as if David knows at the core of his being that really God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. He knows this through and through. Now, it's funny because we sing this song, like actually we sung it, the Our God song. Our God is, greater, stronger, higher. And then my favorite part is that bridge where if God is for us, then who could stand against us? If God is with us, then what could be against us? Is that right? Something like that. It's close. It's close. Yeah. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. If God is for us, then who could be against us? And we sing that song, and yet David really lived that song. If God is for us, who could be against us? But instead, sometimes what we do, I need a holder. Sometimes what we do is we get really excited at winter camp. or at summer camp, or we go on a missions trip, or we hear a really good message somewhere about living differently or loving recklessly, and we're like, you know what? I am ready to do it. Here I go. And we take our little, like, you know, like they do that pose, right? We do this little pose thing, and we say to ourselves, this is the day I'm going to do it. I'm going to do flips, and I'm going to do changes, and I'm going to, the whole world will know that God is great. But then Monday morning comes, and we're like, okay, God, like, I'm totally willing to do this. It's not that I'm not. Like, I'm still really fired up. But if you could just make sure that, like, nobody makes fun of me, that'd be really good. And God, if you could just make sure that I don't have to, like, break up with my boyfriend or girlfriend because I really like them, I'll live for you, but I just want to make sure that we're doing that. We make all these deals with God, and we're like, I'm going to live fearlessly and dangerously, but God, can you just make sure that my parents are okay and that they don't get sick, or that my brother doesn't die from this thing that they have? Or God, I just want to make sure that I'm not going to get hurt, and, like, I don't want to be made fun of, and in fact, I would really like to die in my sleep because I don't want to get shot, because I hear that's really painful. So if I could just have a really good life with, like, a nice house, and I could just, like, and we wind up living our lives like this. Like, we're like, God, please don't make anything bad happen to me. I just want to live, right? And then we expect that we'll fall asleep in our bed and we'll die, and then we'll be heaven, and the judge of heaven and earth will stand there and we'll go, I did it. I did it. Could you imagine that if we were in the Olympics and a gymnast got up there and did the exact same thing we did? Stood up there, held on to the bar, and then at the end scooched off and said, I'm ready. What kind of life is that? The judge would be like, well, you're disqualified. Sorry. I don't even know how you got this far. Right? And yet this is sometimes the type of life that we live because we are so scared of taking risks or taking chances or doing something that somebody may say, oh, I'm not sure what you just did that for. Right? And yet David is standing on his balance beam in that moment, and he's ready to do the flips and ready to do the hard work because he knows that God is bigger than anything else. I want you guys to take the piece of paper that you have, and I want you to think for a second. I want you to think not necessarily about your fears of heights or your fear of water or crocodiles. I want you to think about your fear of doing what God's called you to do. What is the thing that God's called you to do, and you're not doing it because you're afraid? And I want you to think about that fear. I want you to write that fear down. What are you afraid of when it comes to doing what God has asked you to do? What are you afraid of? And just write that down. You can do it in the notes section. What are you afraid of? That's okay. If you don't have a sheet, you can just think of it in your head. All right. Who's got one that they're willing to share? What are you afraid of? Yeah. What? Isolation. So being rejected. Nobody's going to like you. Yeah, what are you afraid of?
Not being successful.
Not being successful. I'm afraid that I'm going to fall flat on my face.
Being the only one.
Being the only one. Right. Again, that issue of rejection or isolation. Yeah.
Not being loved.
Not being loved.
Making the right choices.
How do I even know what the right choices are? I don't even know what to do with that. Say it louder, Chris.
Embarrassment.
Not going down the path that God chose for you. So almost like, I don't know what path I'm supposed to go down. Yeah.
Being judged.
That's a huge one. Yeah.
Being hurt.
Yeah, definitely. I think that every one of the fears that you guys probably wrote down can fall into four categories. They can fall into the category of rejection. Nobody likes me. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be all by myself. They fall into the category of unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. They fall into the category of losing something, like your mom or your dad or your health, right? Or they fall into the category of failure. I'm afraid I'm going to fall flat on my face in front of everybody. These are the four fears that everybody has. And if you think you're alone, you're not. Everybody has those fears. But I want to look quickly at why David wasn't afraid. Why he wasn't afraid. And I want you to look at verse 32. David goes to Saul, who is the king, and Saul's trying to persuade him, you can't fight Goliath, you're a little boy. And David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You're a little more than a boy. He's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion. And the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. There's two reasons why David knows that he can win this battle from the very beginning. The first one is that he's already won battles like it. He's had lots of practice. And I think that sometimes when we go up against something that God has called us to do, we stand here and this is our first time we've ever done it. And it can be really scary the first time. But the more you do it over and over again, it gets easier. So that blob thing, I could do it again, no problem. It's just the first time was kind of scary. So same thing with David. We've got to practice. The second thing is what I love in verse 37. The Lord God who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. He knows God. He knows who God is, and so he knows that God's going to take care of them. The reality is our fears are rooted in what we believe about God. So if you're afraid of being rejected, then you don't yet know that God is a God who has completely accepted you, that he has wrapped his arms around you and he loves you no matter what. And you don't yet know that his view of you is the only one that matters in the end. If you're afraid of losing something, then perhaps you don't yet know that God has rescued everything. That he holds the entire universe in his hand. And if you're afraid of the unknown, then maybe you don't yet realize that God knows everything. So there's nothing he doesn't know. So sometimes when we're afraid, conquering that fear means figuring out who God is. So what I want you to do is on that same piece of paper where you wrote that fear, I want you to write down who you need to know God is. So it would be God is, and if I was afraid of rejection, God is the one who loves me no matter what. If I'm afraid of losing something, then God is the one who holds the entire universe in his hands. Write down who you need to know God as. Once we know God, it's not that all those fears disappear. It's more so that we have the courage to be able to do the things that God has called us to because we know that God is with us. And I want you to continue to wrestle with that as the band comes up and we play some music. I really want you to wrestle with God on this point. I want you to think about who he is and why you're afraid of those things if you know that that is who he is. Maybe you need to ask God to reveal himself to you so that you know God better and you don't have to be afraid of that anymore. There's some different areas that you can go around the room in order to talk with God today. If you feel like you need to declare a decision, if you want to post something on the cross or give something up to God, there's a cross over here with some post-its and you can put stuff up there. If you feel like you want to worship God this morning through drawing, if art is really your thing, there's some pieces of paper over there that you can just draw stuff. In the back by the soundboard, there'll be leaders there available if you want prayer. Over in the corner, there's some trays of sand. And if there's something that you need to confess, if you need to give something to God in order to know who he is, you can go write that in the tray and then you can erase it, because that's what God does to our sins. And over here, there's some paper where you can just write a letter to God. And in each one of these places, there's some prompts, some instructions, but you don't have to listen to the instructions. They're just ideas if you get stuck. But please also feel free to stay in your seat and just sing and praise and worship God and talk to him about what's going on. So if you guys will stand with me. Let's pray together as we continue to talk to God. Father God, I thank you so much that you are bigger than our fears. Father, would you draw us close to you so that we can know you and that we don't have to be afraid of all these things anymore, and we can lead courageously to what you've called us to do. In your holy and precious name, amen.